You are listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Well, now it's time for our weekly segment, looking back over the past week's events here in the Vatican. Earlier, I sat down with veteran Vatican watcher Joan Lewis to do just that. Come join us in studio. So, welcome, Joan. Nice to have you back here in studio. Both of us are about to hit the airport to go to Lebanon for the papal visit there, the 14th to the 16th, to Beirut.
I'm very, very excited about that because, of course, I went to Lebanon for the first time in 2010 after I had made an eight-day trip to Iraq and just fell in love with the country and the people and the food. And I think we're going to have very nice weather, warm, but really, really nice. And that's the kind I like. So as if we're going to be outside to experience it, but, you know, we'll probably be behind microphones and computers and everything
else. Okay, well, you and I'll have to have a talk when you come back.
We will have to go to a Lebanese restaurant and talk about the Pope's trip and our trip. But
for this week, let's focus on what the Pope has been up to over this past week. What did you see as some of the highlights?
Well, to be honest, it's been rather interesting. The Pope seems to have picked up the pace. He is still, of course, at Castel Gandolfo, but he's picked up the pace of work in the sense of he's been receiving some bishops from Colombia on their ad limitum visit. So those visits are beginning again. He also welcomed the new ambassador from a woman from Lithuania. And as I understand, she used to work at Vatican Radio quite a number of years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's been a week where we see more activity on his agenda, and we know that he resumed the weekly general audiences in the Vatican back here in Rome, but of course then a helicopter brought him back to Castel Gandolfo. He'll basically, except for the break in Lebanon, which we just mentioned, he will basically be in Castel Gandolfo until the end of September, even the first few days of October, when of course he'll come back for the Synod of Bishops.
So he'll be going back there after he returns from Beirut.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what we saw this week was, as I mentioned, the general audience on Wednesday, the usual, and at Castel Gandolfo, the usual Angelus on Sunday. But he also Sunday celebrated Mass in the Mariupoli Center at Castel Gandolfo, because that was the conclusion of a four-day meeting, which has become an annual affair. This is the 36th time he's done it, of former students of the Holy Fathers. This is when, of course, he taught in Germany, and these are students, those in attendance included Cardinal Schönborn of Vienna, Austria. There were lay people, priests, bishops, quite a variety of people who in years past had the Pope as their mentor, their tutor for their doctoral.
They call it the
Ratzinger School of Christ.
That's right, kind of the Ratzinger Summer School.
Exactly. So they meet once a year. This is the time of year they meet. They choose a theme. This year it was ecumenism in outcome and questions in the dialogue with Lutheranism and Anglicanism. And so there are always speeches by several of the participants, and then there's a chance for debate afterwards. But, you know, wouldn't you love to be just a fly on the wall? I mean, in a room like that, the intellects, the people sitting there, starting with the Holy Father, whose intellect would fill a room all by itself, and the discussion has to be just fascinating. So on Sunday, the Pope kind of concluded these 4 days of meeting with Mass there in Castel Gandolfo. And then he did recite the Angelus, as we know. And at the end of the Angelus, he did have some very lovely words for visitors from Lebanon. And he said he was, you know, thrilled to be able, at the prospect of his forthcoming visit to that country, which you just mentioned, actually, is September 14th, 15th, and 16th, the whole weekend. Now, Monday was kind of a sad day for the Church, certainly for the Holy Father, because several days earlier, Cardinal Carlo Maria Martini, former Archbishop for, I believe, 20 or so years of Milan, he died. He was among his many accomplishments. Cardinal Martini was a biblical scholar, and as a matter of fact, he had decided that in retirement, he, as Archbishop of Milan, he would go to Jerusalem, and he did. He went there to study.
He lived there for quite a number of years.
He did, mm-hmm. indeed. And, however, he, when Parkinson's got to the point that he just thought it was better, he did come back to his native Italy. And I have to tell you, if you allow me, a wonderful story about him. Go back a few years to 1993, Denver, Colorado, and we had World Youth Day. And before World Youth Day, at that time I was working at the Vatican Information Service, and I was asked to go to Denver as part of the Pontifical Council for the Laity, which organizes these days, and organizes what's called the Youth Forum, which is usually 4 or 5 day gathering of young people from around the world, 300, 350, chosen by their episcopal conferences to go. So 2 on the average from every country. And amazing young people who always end up becoming the leaders in the church in their country. These young people met and ate at Regis University. So all of their meetings in the morning, and of the many, many eminent people that spoke to them on many topics, one of them, of course, was Cardinal Martini. And he came every single day. And the last day of his visit there, I was to accompany him back to Denver to the hotel where the whole papal party was staying. And I was staying there, too. I did not stay on the Regis campus. And my primary function was to organize for 3 days press conferences with the young people. So every day, flanking me, all I did was just introduce the young people, and then the press asked them questions. It was one of the more fascinating experiences of my life. So go to the last day, the Cardinal's going back to the city now because, of course, the Holy Father's about to arrive, John Paul, in Denver. And we're in the car going back to the city. The Cardinal's up front, right next to his pre-secretary who was driving. And I'm in the back seat with a whole load of books and boxes of things. We were chatting about this and that, and the young people and the future of the church and how the church has to dedicate a lot of time to them. But I noticed as the Cardinal was talking, he was looking over at the speedometer. He was looking at various things on the dashboard, and he would ask questions of or make comments to his priest driver. And I mean, obviously,
like,
I didn't
turn left here. No, go down. Yes. You're going too fast, or hit the brakes now.
Yes, exactly. Or Father, perhaps, Father, we should slow down. So I'm in the back taking this all in. Well, I discover later when I get back to Denver, I discover not through the Cardinal, but in retelling this part of the story to someone, they said earlier in the morning, the Cardinal's secretary had a little fender bender in the car. So obviously the Cardinal was trying to be cautious, and like you said, maybe you should slow down. So, but you know what I have to tell you? I was sitting in that car, this preeminent man of the church whose name came up on more than one occasion as a papabile, a possible future pope. All I could think of was, you know, I know dozens of people, most of them journalists, who would pay very big bucks to be seated in the back of that car and have a half hour, 45-minute drive with one of the most eminent figures in the Catholic Church. So it was a very wonderful experience. I was blessed the whole Youth Day, the Youth Forum, the Cardinal Martini, and so forth. And actually, we lost another cardinal, too, Cardinal Paul Shan, Emeritus of Kaohsiung in Taiwan. And I have to say, I had a wonderful visit with him. I met him a number of times in Rome, but I was in Kaohsiung in 2001, and I interviewed him. Again, I was, 2001, at the Vatican Information Service, but I had been invited to Taiwan for a 12-day visit, and it was around the Easter vacation. It was absolutely amazing. The Cardinal showed me all around his residence and a building built around, as happens here in Rome, a courtyard. And the courtyard was kind of like a parking lot and a garden. And at the end of the visit, he accompanied me down to the car. And I commented on the fact that I'd never seen so many orchids in my entire life as I had in Taiwan. They grew like weeds. He had buckets, literally, buckets of orchids in the various rooms and offices and chapel and so forth of his residence. And the courtyard, I mean, they were growing up the wall like ivy. And so I commented on the beauty of them and the perfume. And he immediately goes into Chinese and says something to one of his assistants, who goes over and gets a big bucket with orchids in it that had been climbing up the wall. They detach them from a certain part of the wall, and he hands me the bucket and says, "Here, I want you to have this as a souvenir of Taiwan."
Oh, my goodness.
And so I have to tell you, I was able to get it back on the plane to Taipei, from Kaohsiung to Taipei. However, on the ride back to Italy, I couldn't take it out of the bucket. There were so many tentacles. I could not get it out of the bucket to make a smaller package, if you will.
Bring it on.
So I left it with a very good friend of mine in the Focolare movement, and I said, Teresa, take care of yourself, and please take care of my Cardinal Paul Shan orchids. So,
well, that's a cute little story that we'll remember when we remember him as well.
Exactly. So a week marked also by several missives of the Holy Father. This week there was a conference, the Pan-African Congress for Catholic Laity, and it took place in Yaoundé, Cameroon, on the theme, Being Witness of Jesus Christ in Africa Today, Salt of the Earth, Light of the World. And the Holy Father has a fondness for Africa. We know he's been there twice. He was in Benin last year and in 2009 in Angola and Cameroon. He called Africa the continent of hope. And he said, hope indicates the bright horizons that open up before the eyes of faith, despite the many material, and we all know about them, the spiritual and material problems facing the African continent. And he said, even the best traditions, their love for family, their love for community in Africa, even the best traditions and values of African culture are threatened today by secularism. But in any event, he said, notwithstanding all of this, Africa, the people of Africa, possess a great wealth of spiritual resources, which are very valuable for our time, and kind of what I just mentioned. Love for life and family, a sense of joy and sharing, and enthusiasm in living their faith in the Lord. So he told his message said to the participants, making Africa the continent of hope must be the goal that guides the mission of African lay faithful today. And he had very wonderful words to say about the role of the lay faithful, not just in Africa, but actually in the universal church.
Well, I'm afraid we'll have to leave it now with that thought on when Pope Benedict was handing over to the bishops of Africa their apostolic exhortation from their synod in 2009. Of course, we're going to be seeing in Lebanon next weekend, the 14th through 16th, Pope Benedict will be handing over that conclusive document of the 2010 synod of the bishops of the Middle East.
Ought to be a very, very exciting event. And we're really going to see the universal church at work here, aren't we?
We certainly are. Well, when are we going to see you again back here in Vatican Radio Studios, Joan?
We'll have to talk about that over lunch in Lebanon.
Okay, we'll do that. Thanks so much for coming in. Bye-bye.
And thanks very much there to Joan Lewis, Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN.